I'm listening. What do you require?
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt Wow, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. I'm Aprilian, currently of the Earthen Ring server, and today is Wednesday, June 27, 2007. This is episode 27, entitled, Today We Have a Guest. I want to welcome Glanther.
Hello.
And he's going to talk about we're going to talk about a variety of things, but first I'm going to let Glanther introduce himself.
Hello, so my name's Glanther, which is named after my level 62 dwarf hunter. He originally was called Glorin, because I got World of Warcraft way back in the day when all of those very Lord of the Rings-like names were available. But when I moved servers, somebody else already had that name, so I had to find a new name, and I'm a very much a Lord of the Rings geek, which is one of the reasons why I like World of Warcraft so much, is because I think it brings a really nice fantasy element to the computer world that a lot of other fantasy games just are, you know, way overboard in terms of the too much like Dungeons and Dragons, but that's another whole conversation. But his name means lost or wandering hunter. And if you go by that Tolkien lore there, I'm currently on two servers. I'm on Norgannon, which is a PvE server with most of my alts, because I do have lots of alts. Thus, the reason why I'm here on Control Alt WoW. I'm a big fan of Aprilian, so I'm very honored to be here. I also have alts now on Earthen Ring, because I felt like once I knew which server that Aprilian was on, and the fact that I obviously know her in real life as well, that I wanted to start playing with her. And so I made the plunge, and I started playing Horde characters, because I was one of the longtime advocates of the Alliance. And that's one of the things that hopefully we'll be talking about today, because I didn't know there was another whole world to World of Warcraft, not just Kalimdor versus the Eastern Kingdoms, but very much a very cultural world there. So I'm going to actually turn it over to Aprilian and let her do her thing. She does so well. And again, I'm so honored to be here in your presence. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being here, Glanther. Thanks for the nice compliment. And this is really interesting, because we did talk about a couple of episodes ago about how there is a certain kind of a mindset between the Horde and the Alliance. And I've been mostly Horde. And I was telling Glanther earlier that I always saw the Alliance as... He was saying how the Alliance is good, and, well, I'm going to let him tell you what he thinks of the Alliance. But I've always thought the Alliance as being bad, and it's such a ingrained mindset just from playing the game. And I've never played an Alliance character past level 13, so it'll be interesting to hear your side.
Yeah, I'm sitting here shaking my head, being like, no, they're not the evil ones. I like the Alliance because they all kind of work together. You didn't start out with kind of a warring faction thing already. Like when I first made my first alt, which was an undead character, which I deleted after, you know, 7 levels, because I just did not like the undead very much. And I know that many of you out there are quite literally turning in your graves when I say that. But I was surprised that some started out neutral, and that they didn't all like each other. They weren't all friendly. And to me, I thought that was a very interesting game dynamic. There's a lot of lore on the Horde side, where the Alliance is basically, we don't like orcs. Orcs are bad, they're brutal, there's not a lot of animosity towards Tauren necessarily, because you have the druids that kind of share the same space over in Moonglade there.
Tree huggers.
Yeah, tree huggers. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Night Elf, so I'm making lots of enemies right now. I don't have any Night Elf characters because I don't particularly like the continent of Kalimdor, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the Horde were always the bad guys. And so I had a dwarf hunter, I have a priest, I have a paladin. I love the Draenei. I love the Draenei paladins because they're so righteous and about the light. And in terms of just like a role playing, because I like to think of my characters, like I like doing all the quests and having fun with the game, but there's definitely an element of I try to go to this world to escape like real life and having an alternate kind of persona of like what would you be like in World of Warcraft. So I made a lot of characters based on how I would be if I was a hunter, how I would be if I, you know, was going to be there. And I chose the Draenei because I thought it was really nice how they were, you know, very much all about doing good all the time. So when I went over to the Horde, the first thing I had to do was make an anti-character. So I got a Blood Elf Warlock. And which is like the exact opposite of everything that the paladins are about. Like they're all about searing pain and curse of doom, all those great spells that we all love. What do you want to add in on there, Aprilian?
You had a paladin.
I have a paladin. I have a priest.
What race?
Oh, okay, let me go through my list of alts. I forgot that this is Control Alt. Wow, and I forgot all my. So I have a priest who's still really low level. He's level 3 because he's still relatively new. His name's Clarendon. He's a human. I have a level 33 Draenei paladin whose name is Arlaris. I have Glanther, who's a level 62 dwarf hunter. I have a level 7. Mage, who is a gnome. His name is Fizzle Spark. And I have a level 3 druid, night elf, whose name is Stormpaw. And then on the Horde side, I have a level 14 druid, Torin, who his name is Loonhoof. And then I also have, of course, my blood elf character, whose name is Morian, which going back to the Tolkien people out there, his name means Dark One. So there's so many people that are even geekier than I am out there that they actually translated the Elvish language. All I did was have to Google it. So I feel like I'm pseudo geeky because I didn't actually have to open up the Elvish English dictionary. I just typed in something in Google and there was already an application that did it for me.
That's
so
pretty scary.
Yeah, thank you everyone out there who is really obsessed. You've made my life a lot easier.
How long have you been playing?
Since 2005. And so I've had 2 years and I haven't yet hit level 70. But part of that is because I love just to go exploring. My dwarf is a fisherman. And we all know what fishing is. It's sitting there and casting out your line for 30 seconds at a time. And maybe every 10 fish you might gain one skill point. Maybe.
What is your highest character?
My highest character is a level 62 dwarf hunter named Glanther, which is my name. And it took forever to get to level 60, and I really liked going over to, which we were talking about, Outland. Outland is such a fantastic new world. It's so very rich in terms of art. I don't know about other people out there, but one of the things I love about the game so much is that you can just stop and look around you and just stare, and it's beautiful. Like I find myself wasting sometimes minutes at a time just staring at some of the like surroundings and like NPCs and the costumes. I mean, it's like a really high production movie, and we have to give Blizzard lots of kudos for creating such like an amazing environment. So I'm talking a lot, and this is not my podcast. So, April, what do you want
to... Well, first of all, I wanted to go back to the whole Alliance and Horde thing, because mm-hmm. that really fascinates me. I have never actually thought of the Horde as being bad. I thought of the Horde as being, we're fighting a good cause. I thought that we were, if anything, just the underdog. I have tried to do an Alliance character, and I can't... I have a gnome that I use. No, I have a dwarf that I use as a. And I've talked about how I sell dragging hawks, hatchlings to the Alliance. But I can't stand looking at her because she's just so bubbly and, you know, it's just like doll and cute like. And I've created a couple of humans and then, like, couldn't stand them. I love my orcs with their nice little horns and their toughness. And I feel like they could go out and, you know, kick butt and take care of themselves. The humans just look so frail, like if they got into a big fight that they would break. Yeah. and my biggest thing is I've always thought of the Alliance as Americans.
Holier than thou. Yeah.
Like going out into the whole world and pushing their own little clean values on the rest of Azeroth. Yeah.
I was talking to a Brilliant earlier, and one of the things I was really surprised about when I was playing the Blood Elves is that they have this saying as you go through like their starting land, where when you talk to an NPC, they'll say, "Stay the course, stay the course, stay the course." And I don't want to get too political, but you know, even if you like him or hate him, that's exactly what Donald Rumsfeld said all the time about Iraq. And so I was very surprised that they would have that kind of mentality of like, you know, the scourge really screwed us over, and we're gonna stop at nothing until we get them back, and we're gonna basically make sure that everyone who stands in our way will perish. And you know, that's quite a commitment you got there. Like, they have quite an interesting way of dealing with their issues, but they look so dang good at it, you know. Like, the Blood Elves, they are just really just generally good looking. I mean, one of the things that Ape Brilliant once mentioned to me was that she sells hawklings to all the Alliance people at the neutral auction houses, because all the Alliance kids are, well, all the Alliance people are really 12-year-old kids, it seems. You would think based upon their conversations in Ironforge. But I really feel the Horde is comprised of more adult gamers. I think it's a much more mature side of the game.
That's an interesting theory, and As I've stated, I haven't played Alliance a lot, but I do know that in my guild and the people that I've interacted on the Horde side, they do seem to be a lot older. Of course, we do have immature people on the Horde side. Just listen to Baron's chat.
The I Survived Baron Chats t-shirts out there, which I was telling Aprilian, I had to stop my druid because I hate the Barons with such a passion. They was making it so I could not enjoy the game, so I had to go back to the Eastern Kingdoms and start a Blood Elf, because I couldn't survive the Barons chat. It was no good.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. But I'm going to pause for 1 second. Okay, so I'm really excited to have Glanther here. Right now, we're going to just talk about what's been going on the past week. I'm going to talk about what I what I've been doing, and then Glantha can fill us in and comment on, you know, what he's been doing. Of course, this week, the biggest thing is the Midsummer Festival, which coincides with, I think, Solstice or some pagan festival. There was some confusion that some people thought it had something to do with 4th of July, but it really doesn't, although I do believe on 4th of July they will do
fireworks. On 4th of July they do have fireworks, because as much as it's a worldwide game, the primary player base is people from the United States. So I'm always a big fan of the fireworks over Stormwind. I don't know if they have...
The fireworks over Thunderbluff.
Okay, yeah.
And last year I actually sat there watching it and going, ooh, ah. And then I went outside later on that night and watched the actual fireworks in real life. And it just wasn't as impressive to me.
No, but real life is so dull now when you can watch it all in 3D graphics, right?
Right. So this past week I've been doing the Midsummer Festival. I've been running around Kalimdor and Eastern Kingdoms. I actually took Trishelle with Aunt Rilia, which was really good because she got to go to Silthius. And she got to go to Angora Crater, and she actually picked up some quests. She actually dinged level 49 today on my break at work. And I'm pushing her towards 50, because if you remember, Trishelle has jewel crafting, and at 50 she can go past 300. She also dropped skinning because I really want an alchemist, and so I had her drop skinning, and then I had her go look on the auction house, and we couldn't find any silver leaf.
In terms of dropping skills, I once made the biggest mistake of my life. I had 300 skinning on Glanther before I moved him over, and I dropped it because I thought it would be nice to become a miner. And when you're a level 60 character and you start over like a profession like that from scratch, I wanted to die. I was mining copper for hours in like the starting areas for like Elowen Forest and things like that. And I eventually said, you know what, I'm just going to go skinning again because at least I know where all the high level animals were. So then I ended up grinding for hours, but I got, you know, a little bit quicker than looking for gold. So, or this other, or another types of, those minerals? Yes. Thank you. Yes. I have a college degree, people. I can't speak basic English. So yes, before you do anything drastic, just think about how easy will it be to get this new profession up. So a brilliant is a pro. So one of those disclaimers, you know, the professional driver, you know, on closed course, do not attempt this at home. So.
Well, actually, she is finding that it's a little hard finding the silver leaf. She had mining at one point because she was jewel crafting and she had mining, but I had her drop mining and then start over again with skinning, and that was so hard. She had to go all the way back to all the lower levels. But I find that when you're higher level, it does go much faster.
Well, skinning is easier because there's plenty of animals. But when you're looking for ore deposits, or if you're looking for certain types of herbs, I mean, if you don't have that mini map on and you're running over, plus you have all the noobs that you have to deal with, which if maybe someone can send an email about this one. I always pronounced it newbie, but you all know that South Park episode where Stan's dad says that he's a noob. So I don't know what the official terminology is out there, because I don't want to be a newbie or a noob when it comes to talking about newbies or noobs.
Well, I think it depends on whether or not you speak Leek, because I believe that noob is actually spelled N00B.
Oh, okay.
So, and newbie is actually N-E-W-B-I-E. I mean, that's
okay.
So I guess it depends on if you want to think low enough to speak Leek speak. But, okay, so what else has been going on? Lillian, she's 59. And even though she's gotten into Outland, she hasn't gone back to Outland because she still wants to help out Trishelle, and she wants to help out Realfire. Realfire's at 50. And I'm really thinking of pushing her into Outland because she's a leather worker and she would, you know, be great getting out there to Thralmar and doing the training and stuff. So I feel kind of itchy because I really want to get back into Outland, but Aunt Milia's main purpose for coming over to Earthenring was to help her younger alts, her siblings. And I'm doing air quotes.
I can see the air quotes, Dr. Evil.
So what have you been doing?
Well, I've been leveling up my Blood Elf because I want to join Alia Octa Est, which Aprilian talks about ad nauseum. It's a fantastic guild. I like really organized guilds. I was part of a guild. Every guild, actually, I've ever been a part of on the Alliance side has always fizzled through. So, again, I think part of it has to do with the Horde just being much more mature and people understanding that, you know, that like people have real lives, and you know, like if you don't log on every single day, not to kick you out, not bitter about anything, but this has happened to me. Actually, I am a little bit bitter. And there's also that element of end game content, and this is something that I, you know, have mixed feelings on, because I know how amazingly cool that end game stuff must be. But when having so many alts and wanting to get all those alts up to like higher levels, you don't really have time to spend that 9 hours in Blackrock Depths or anything like that. And that's what a lot of guilds are for. They're end game content. I like a guild that's there just to help out people get, you know, higher levels and help them with those annoying group quests that you can never find anyone else who's willing to help you out with.
I know. I used to not mind pickup groups, or pugs as they're called, PUGs. And I used to think they were okay, but lately, every time I get in a pickup group, there's been some problem. I was in a pickup group the other day in Alderman. I love Alderman. I was with Trishelle, who's level 47, who's actually way higher than what was necessary for Alderman. And everybody else was in low to mid-30s. And I don't like to be pushy, especially when I didn't start the group. But gosh, there were so many little things. And I'm not, like, the most experienced. I don't know everything you can do with your spells and everything. And, of course, I was on easy mode because I was on Trishelle, who's a hunter. And she was with her. She has a... the flying serpents. What do you call those things?
I don't know.
The winged serpent. Yeah. That's what the serpent. Yeah. And who's great. I love my winged serpent. It actually was a cur. She's one of the named. She's in a quest in 1000K, and she was great to get. It was very hard to get. And she's been with Trishelle for almost 20 levels. But, anyways, we were in this group, and first of all, there was a rogue who wasn't sapping. We'd go into a room with about 3 or 4 mobs, and I'm like, mm-hmm. He gets in and he sneaks up on them to fight them. I'm like, why don't you sap one and then we can get the others? But I don't like to tell people what to do.
Yeah, and then on like the opposite side, you have like the Leroy Jenkins kind of video where they don't do anything. They just sit there and they explain what the battle plan is going to be for 15 minutes, or the more dreaded one where they group forms and you realize that one person in the group is actually in Winter Spring and everyone else is trying to do a quest or go to like Blackrock Spire. And they say, well, I'll be there in about 15-20 minutes. I don't have 15-20 minutes. I'm here now.
But
let's find someone else.
Yeah, and plus one, the summoning stone changes a lot of that because it's very easy to summon people. You can actually use them to summon now. And of course, I have a couple of warlocks and warlocks rule for summoning. But this group, there was a warlock in this group, and that was another thing. She was not using any DOTs. I couldn't imagine. She was just setting her pet on there, and I was looking at the mob, you know, and I'm doing my hunter's mark, and then I'm doing, you know, the concussion, and my little DOTs are showing up. She's using her wand. I know, no DOTs, and she's using her wand. I mean, at least use, what's that one, the power one?
I haven't gotten there yet on my...
But, anyways, and then I know what happened. We took a shortcut in Alderman, which I don't know. Why do you want to take a shortcut when you have pets? Because your pet is going to aggro a bunch of people unless you dismiss your pet and then bring them back. And then, so she says, she aggroed some mobs, and then she says, oh, I'm sorry, I thought he was following me. And I said to her, he was following me. And she had her imp out, which of course is another story, but he was following you. The only reason why he aggroed is because he has a certain path that he has to take. And she says, I know, I have a level 60 warlock. And that always gets me.
There's definitely that kind of, I know exactly what I'm doing, and then everyone dies, and they say, well, you guys must have really screwed this up because I knew what I was doing. But, you know, it's only a game, and, you know, you get frustrated when you have to walk 5 minutes to your body, but, I mean, it's not like some of the other games out there where if you're dead, you're dead. I know this is a World of Warcraft podcast, but I once played Hitman on Xbox, and if you die, the game's over, and it takes one bullet, so it's ultra realistic. That was a frustrating game, because you sneak around for 3 hours, and then, whoops, you sneezed, sorry. So, what did you want to...
We were talking about, what else has gone on? Oh, and also, Aprilian did do a couple of the quests with Trishelle and Aunt Relia, which was really nice, because Aprilian has gotten into Timbermoor, and I mean into Fellwood, and she's getting in good with the Timbermoor fur blogs, and she's following around, and it's kind of a sneaky thing. I think I talked about it last episode, that she's getting a lot of rep just by hanging out with her older aunts and Aunt Relia. But what else have I been doing? I think that's about it. I've still got Iwari. Oh, this was funny. Iwari is my miner who's in Crush Bridge Hold, and she sits there and she's mining. And it's really funny because a lot of times she'll get in there and she'll steal ore away from the Alliance. I'm sorry. But she went to Torin Mill to mail some ore to my bank alt in Thunderbluff so that my bank alt could put it up on Auction House. And she goes to repair. Have you been into Torin Mill?
I've been to Torin Mill, yeah.
Well, you know, the vendor to repair is out on the edge of the field. Mm-hmm. For the first time, I look behind her, look behind the NPC, and there's a forge and there's an anvil. Every time she's wanted to mine, like when she sends the True Silver and when she sends sometimes Mithril, she sends it in bars, but she's been flying all the way back to Undercity. Or hearthing to Shatrath, and then going to Undercity, and then using the forge, forge there, and I feel so stupid. All this time, there's been a forge and an anvil in Torin Mill, and I didn't know. But there's so much to this game that you can miss.
Yeah, there's so much to see, and you really do. You miss a lot. I feel like I could play the game for another 3 years, and I would never actually go into every part of every instance. And then on top of all of that, there's probably thousands of little in-jokes that depending on whether or not you're a big fan of a particular, you know, movie or television show or something, you may or may not get. I think that would be a show all on its own for people to try to find all the in-jokes. Yeah. I know that for my Draenei, when I got to Bloodmist Isle, the name of the hippogriff master there was Lando, Landoo, and obviously a Star Wars reference. And you know, the gnomes being all about technology and building gadgets, they have this thing called the hydroelectric hydraulic spanner. And for you Star Wars fans out there, the hydro spanner is one of Chewbacca's tools that he used in Star Wars. So there's just a lot of those kind of little in-jokes.
Well, my favorite one, and I mentioned this on a podcast several podcasts ago, maybe 5 or 10, mm-hmm. but if you're a Star Trek fan of Deep Space Nine, the Dax symbiont actually has 5 characters, Torin, Ezra, Tobias, and I forget the other two, but there's all her symbionts are walking around in Exodor.
Really?
Yeah, on a light tour. I have to take you there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's really funny because I was looking at it. I saw Tobias, I saw Ezra, and I saw this, and I realized that all the Dax symbionts or the Dax hosts were walking around Exodor. So that's kind of neat. So we're gonna pause for a moment. All right, let's just stop for a second and read an email from Carbizitz. If you remember, he won the tabard, the Landro Longshot tabard, for giving a tag for the show. I had the little contest. And his character's name, and I'm going to try to pronounce it properly, is Carbizitz. And he writes, "Hi, Aprilian. I just wanted to quickly send you a screenshot of the tabard I won for your contest. And have you ever seen a better dressed looking dead guy? LOL, thanks much, Carbizitz." I can say that right. And I'll put the screenshot in the show notes. He looks very nice. It's a quite neat little tabard. And we're glad you enjoyed it. Thanks.
Things I need to... All right, so... We're back. Now, I've been, as I said before, a big fan of Control WoW, and very much jealous of Brilliant because she dual boxes. She has more than one account, and so that really makes alts very interesting. I have a lowly single account, and so when I wanted to transfer things between characters, I have to do the whole log in, log out, and there's a server delay. So for people that are, you know, into instant gratification, there's no such luck there. And I would kill to be able to have some of my characters be able to follow me around. I remember one of the first times I met up with Aprilian on Earthen Ring. Actually, I think it was in Balgan at that time. You were still Balgan, on Balgan.
Right, yeah.
She comes running over, and there's someone running behind her, and I said, "Who's that?" Well, that's my alt. And that moment of just unbridled jealousy of wanting so badly to have what she had was overwhelming. Because one of the things I'm finding right now with some of my level higher, like level 30 alts, especially Alaris, who's my Draenei again, he's stuck in the wetlands trying to do those quests involving the Dark Irons. And he's also having some trouble in Arathi Highlands. And he would love to go back to Numeragen, but there's nothing in terms of groups that he's had any luck with recently. I haven't had any luck with getting a nice group together. So I'm basically stalled unless I want to grind for XP. And it's a perfectly legitimate way of getting experience. But, I mean, after killing, I don't know, about 75 alligators or one of those wetland crocolisks, you really start to feel like this is something I could probably be doing right now and with my time. Maybe I'm reading a book. I know it sounds kind of blasphemous to say, but you definitely want to have something going on all the time, at least when I play World of Warcraft. I like to feel like there's a immediate goal. Like, I love completing that quest, because even if it only gives you like 500 experience points, at least you did it. You know, you clear it out that infamous 25. You only can do 25 at a time, so the one less is that one more that you can add later. So dual boxing is really quite interesting. And, you know, maybe if I had more than one computer, I'd be able to do that as well, but Aprilian has several, so she's also, again, there comes this jealousy.
Yeah, and doing instances with your alts is really awesome. I remember when I went into Whale and Cavern with Trishel and Aprilian and Audrion, it was really quite a neat experience. And again, it's a reflection of the pickup group, because I that was one of the things I wanted to point out at the end of that story about the pickup group, was then I ended up, it took us so long to get together. That's another thing. When you're in a guild and you can say, hey, anybody wants to do something? And I'll tell you, Alea Iacta S is wonderful for doing this. I can get, I did Sunken Temple not too long ago with them, and that was great. You can, there's so many people, it's over 800 members, that anytime you want to do a group, it's almost instant gratification with that. But this pickup group, it took us over almost 2 hours to finally get together. And I was out in the Badland, and I'm grinding and waiting. I was grinding Dark Whelplings.
Oh, Dark Whelplings.
Because okay. I'm hoping to get another drop. Once you get in it, the Dark Crimson Whelplings, the little pets you can get, once you get one of those pets when you're grinding Dark Whelplings, it's like addictive. You want to go back and get another one. But anyways, I was doing that in the Badlands, just waiting for the rest of the group to come. And it's so frustrating when you're doing that, because you're ready to go to Alderman, and you're waiting for somebody to come. And then finally we got in there, and it had taken over 2 hours, and then dinner was ready. And I had to go.
Yeah,
and I felt bad.
We definitely have this problem as World of Warcraft fans, and I think all of you out there probably have the same thing, in that we're not digital in real life. We have to do things like eat. Sleep, I guess, is an option that we don't really need. Thank you, caffeine. But sleep, bathroom breaks. There's nothing worse than, you know, trying to take out Ragnaros and realizing that you have to pee very, very badly, because you can't say BRB when you're the tank, right? So what do you do in those circumstances? And so when you're ready to go, you're ready to go because you've prepared yourself for this instance.
Yeah.
And when it takes so long, and by the time that it does finally start, you're at a different place. Either dinner is ready or you have to go to bed because, you know, people work and they have to get up early in the morning and all sorts of real life stuff that just gets in the way.
Yeah, I often wondered what it would be like if you didn't have to work. What if you were rich and you could just play World of Warcraft all you wanted? But then I think that would take away from your enjoyment, because the fact that I can take off, you know, I can spend some time, I can come home from work, spend a couple of hours before dinner, and, you know, and then look forward to the weekend when I have my solid block. That's what makes it really desirable. If I could play it all the time, it probably wouldn't be as enjoyable.
Yeah. And then one of the things that I've struggled with a lot is that I really am very poor in World of Warcraft. If Brilliant talks about how she has 1,000 gold, Glanther has 85 gold. He's 62 and still rides a 40, like one of those steeds, like one of the rams that can only do 60% movement speed. So it's kind of embarrassing when all the
I'm
other.
So sorry.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that so bad? yeah, she's sobbing. She's doing the /cry.
Do you play the auction house at all? Or?
I don't play the auction house. I don't play the stock market in real life, really. If they had some kind of employee stock pricing plan for some kind of business in Azeroth, then maybe I would.
So when you get a white item, you just vendor it.
I don't even know what that is.
You know, a white item. When you get
When I get a white item, yeah, I vendor those. I do the greens, blues. Like, I'm not a fool. You know, if I get a nice green one, I'll try to put it up. But if no one buys it and I put it up there twice, then it goes to a vendor.
And you don't use Auctioneer as a plug-in?
Oh, that's another thing. Thank you for bringing that up. I almost forgot about
add-ons.
That. Add-ons. So, I am a Mac user, and I use Cosmos. But I have a very limited use of Cosmos because there's just so much stuff available that I don't think I could ever figure it out. Like, it really fills up the screen so much that I can't see what's going on.
Well, finding add-ons can almost be a full-time
job.
Yeah, another aspect of the game entirely. And that's another thing I wanted to focus on real quick, is that there is so many aspects of World of Warcraft, and that there's so many different ways of playing. I'm going to bring Glanther back for another episode, maybe even an ongoing thing. I'd love to hear from you guys what you think. But I think that it would be interesting if we could compare our gameplays. Of course, gameplays. I am a Mac user as well, but I use Titan Panel, and I have a few select add-ons that I use, such as Fast Quest and Equip Compare and Sell Value. And I use Auctioneer because I play the auction house. I just couldn't imagine having 62 gold. Right now, I do have over 1,000.
Yeah. My thing was always, do I break my end user license agreement and pay some guy who has one of those farms to buy gold? But I've decided I stick with my guns. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather be poor than pay my way in an alternate reality.
And, you know, a lot of other podcasts have focused on the good and bad and evils of gold buying. So I'm not going to get too much into it, but I just want to give my opinion really quickly. And it's just that it would overinflate the prices and make it bad for normal people. Plus, it would make things harder to get. So I don't believe in buying gold. When I was playing Second Life, I bought Linden's. But that's legitimate because you're not competing against anybody, and Linden's is like basically the only way to enjoy the game. Did you ever play Second Life? Or?
Now, when I got World of Warcraft, it was my first MMORPG. It's actually easier for me to say it just like out without doing the acronym. So I was very, very pleased with it. And one of the things I really do like about World of Warcraft is that it gives you like that fantasy world without having to worry about all of like the die casts and what is your dexterity, what's your charisma, like the things that you would get with Elder Scrolls, like Oblivion and Morrowind and things like that.
And did you play Dungeons and Dragons at all? Or?
Now I've played games based upon Dungeons and Dragons.
Diablo.
I mean, I think that most people that played World of Warcraft, at least guys, and of course, I'm all about broad generalizations tonight, as you can see, because I'm sure there's people out there that are like, no, you're full of it. But I think that most guys that play World of Warcraft have at least once sat down with a pencil and paper and made some kind of character for Dungeons and Dragons when they were in fifth grade. If you're still doing it now, all the power to you, because it was fun, but I went through a lot of pencils, and so I thought that a computer doing it for you was just a lot better.
I actually didn't sit down and play, but I watched the guys who did play, and they wouldn't let
me
play.
Is the guys.
And as I grew older, I did have roommates who played, and they never let me play. I think they were afraid of me beating them. And the other thing was Magic the Gathering. I got to play Magic the Gathering a few times, and I loved it so much, but I never actually could play it much.
I played Star Wars, the customizable card game, which is like Magic the Gathering, but it's even geekier, because not only are you playing a card game, but it's based on Star Wars.
Have you tried Lord of the Rings, by the way?
I haven't tried the
beta. Of course, it's not for the Mac. It's for the PC. Yeah. But I did boot into boot camp on my Mac, and I was able to play it.
I like Lord of the Rings, as I said. However, I think World of Warcraft is just much better because it's original. They actually took the time to create a world where Lord of the Rings, it feels like they didn't do any work.
Right. And I think you have to really be a fan of Lord of the Rings, because I was totally lost when I got into the game.
I've read the books. I've seen the movies. I like the movies. I found out the other day that there are people out there that don't like those movies.
Well, okay. Come on. The ring, the one ring to rule them all. Oh, I want the ring. You can get the ring. Oh, get the ring. The ring.
Yeah, you can see.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right now I'm getting laughed at, but I thought it was a fantastic set of movies. But there's definitely an element when I played the Lord of the Rings RPG for Xbox. All you basically do in these games are follow the actual characters around.
Right, yeah.
So it's like you can't be Frodo.
Right.
So all you have to, you're just some other hobbit who kind of happens to follow him along, and then you get all of like the sloppy seconds of like all the orcs that they didn't kill somehow find you.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be a lot of fun for me, which is why I like World of Warcraft, because it lets you get in there and create your own character, and you are who you are. There is no following other people around.
The other thing was there were no female hobbits, so no female something. One of the things.
Oh, there. In the Lord of the Rings game?
No, in the game, yeah. There's one... How many... There's the hobbits and there's the...
There's hobbits, there's elves, there's men.
I think there were no female hobbits in the game because there's no female hobbits in the quest. There's female hobbits, but they just stay home.
Yeah, like...
So you couldn't make a female hobbit. Anyways.
Yeah, anyway, enough with Lord of the Rings here.
Yes, anyways, but we both... I have just never felt so into a game as I have with World of Warcraft. Like I said, it's
World of Warcraft. Yeah.
Yes. Although I did try EverQuest. Did you ever try EverQuest?
I didn't try EverQuest because when I was in school, I knew that if I did it, massively multiplayer online role playing games, they can see that. Because I knew I would flunk. Yeah. So now that I have a job and things like paying bills, I need to do. That's when I decided to get involved with these things. So that way, not only I won't flunk my grades, but I will potentially go delinquent on my credit card bills and get fired. So it seems like it's an even trade-off.
Okay, I think that brings us to the end of the show. I think this has been a really good episode. I'm very happy to have Glanther here. I would love to get some feedback on what you think of having him on this show. As usual, the email address is controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow @gmail.com. You can also get information at our website, controlaltwow.com. And I would love to hear how you feel about Glanther. I'm glad he was here. I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to focus some more on exactly what we're doing and have a better little schedule of show format.
Yeah, today was kind of on the fly, and we did take a couple of breaks because we're only human. But when during one of our breaks, we were saying about how it would be great to have a show where we just kind of compare game styles, because she's a much better well, I shouldn't say better, but she's a much more advanced gamer than I am.
I think it's mostly because I have more time. I think you do a lot of other things, and I spend the majority of my free time, including my breaks at work, playing. But I think it'll be interesting to compare our game styles. So we'll look forward to next week. And again, check us out on iTunes and let us know what you think. And this is Aprilian.
And this is Galanther. Again, pleasure to be here.
And until next week, this is goodbye.